I think we are all set. Let's start. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another episode of the Angels Wing Weekend Chat with June here from the Angels Recount. We have also Espresso, Casper, Johannes, and Rubble here today as co-hosts. Before we start, I'd like to invite Casper to give us an introduction of the Angels Wing first.
Hello, everyone. It's actually Monday here where I am in Asian time zone. We are the Angels Wing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by international friends. We all met through our beloved Metal Angels project. Espresso and Johannes are from Europe. Yoon's from the US, but I understand she's in Europe right now. Rebel and I are from Asia, and we're all driven by our common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and help them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's dominated pretty much by the generative P projects. Today, we'll have an interesting guest and topic because it's a mix of both the art journey as well as a PFP project that's going to be mentioned. So we are very much looking forward to that conversation. We showcase the art of the artists in an on-cyber virtual gallery with the logic that a larger collection of art brings a cross-pollination of viewership that has nicely helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We have organically grown since then into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way, of course, to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link tree in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. We'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All right, back to you, Yoon.
Thank you for the introduction, Casper. So I'm very excited to have Erica writing today here on the show. Erica is an abstract painter and creator of the Crypto Venus project. And I noticed Erica's work this year in February through the CryptoSvenus project, and I really love the feminine charm of her art. And most of all, what with me most is Erica's story of reconnecting with her creative side after being on her artistic hibernation for more than a decade. And so, yeah, welcome, Erica, to the show. How are you today? I hope you're feeling a bit better from your cold.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm on the up and up. There's so many people who I'm talking to who are sick right now who have heard the same thing. But yeah, feeling a lot better, which is a relief. I'm excited to get back in the studio soon.
Yeah, that's great. Happy that you're feeling better today.
Yeah.
So do you want to start to introduce yourself first and your background and like brief introduction about your journey, how you became an artist?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Erica Reiling. I'm a painter and I live in New York City. I actually grew up painting. My mom started putting me in art classes when I was really young, 3 years old. And she saw how much I lit up when I made art. And my parents were really supportive of me. They always, if there's any art class I wanted to try, they would happily reach into their savings and support me in that way. And through elementary school, I just got a lot of positive reinforcement for it, would pretty much enter in like any contest that was happening in the elementary school. And by the time I got to high school, I was actually selling my work and I had 2 pieces in the Seattle Art Museum and I was in galleries and was having a lot of success for a young person. And then when it came time to choose university, I really didn't want to go to art school. There was something about it that made me feel like it wasn't the right thing for whatever reason. Like I thought they're going to make me unlearn my own artistic ways, or it would be a lot of critiques and talking to people who weren't really artists themselves. They were just teachers, or I don't know what I had in my mind, but I thought this is a pointless endeavor to pay money to go and study art if I'm not even going to be able to make a living as an artist. That's what I still believed at that time. So I actually ended up going to school for psychology and got my bachelor's in psychology and didn't paint through college, went right into the workforce and tried to find a creative adjacent job. So first I was working, well, front desk wherever I could, but different like creative agencies, social media companies, and then started working front desk for a really well-known architecture firm in Los Angeles. And I thought, oh, this is creative. I could do this. So I went back to school for interior design. And that's what I was doing for about 6 years up until the pandemic hit. And I realized during that time, 2019 was really a year of upheaval for me. And I was realizing that my life didn't feel like my own. It felt like I was going through the motions and very much asleep at the wheel. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. There's times in our lives that we look up and we're like, what am I doing? What is this? This isn't totally in alignment with what I think maybe my highest self could be doing. So I pretty much exploded my life like right before quarantine started, and I had a lot to work through. So by the time quarantine came around, I started dabbling in art therapy and started painting again for the first time in almost 13 years. And it just came pouring out of me. And the first piece I painted on the first day is still my favorite piece. It was in Vogue magazine this month, and it was just a sign from the universe, or whatever you want to call it, that my hunch was correct. This is something I should be focused on. And so I quit my job, moved to New York, and took a part-time job. And I've been painting as much as I can ever since then. And it's really proved to be the right move. Betting on myself is the smartest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, so yeah, that's very inspiring, your story. And the first piece that you've created is Chosen. And we just shared this before on Space. So do you want to share this again? Because I find it so interesting how just following or have the intuition following your path, that how things just fall into place. And yeah.
Yeah. So basically 2019, I started my divorce. I realized that I had come into a relationship for maybe not the right reasons. So the beginning of 2020, I pretty much spent in bed crying and what am I doing? What is this? And working at the same time. And then all of a sudden in March, I was feeling better, feeling more like myself. And I took a pilgrimage to Georgia O'Keeffe's two properties in Abiquiu, New Mexico, just to see how she lived and worked and maybe absorb some of that energy. She's one of the most famous and the best-selling female artists of all time. And she had to put up with a lot during her time, and a lot of negative things were said about her and her work. And I just thought, this is someone that I want to understand better. And I went early March to her two properties by myself. It was an amazing week. And then on the way home, I'm in the airport and I realized that there's nobody else in the airport with me because it's March 12th. And I really hadn't been paying very close attention to the news at that point. But pretty much as soon as I got home, the office called us and said, no one's going to be coming into work. The world pretty much shut down. And so it was like at the time when I thought, oh, I'm really okay, world. Like, I'm ready. I've spent 3 months alone. I'm ready to get back out there and be who I am now. And the universe was like, nope. 6 more months of focusing on spending more time with yourself and introspection. And my roommate, who I was living with, set up an art studio. She worked for a commercial real estate firm, and they had a bunch of buildings in Beverly Hills that they were renovating. And because of quarantine, they had to halt all renovations. No workmen were allowed. But she had access to a lot of these open units, and her boss let her set up an art studio in one of them. I had no idea how to set up an art studio or what supplies I would buy. She did this all without me knowing. She went and bought the canvases and all the different art. She went to a hardware store and bought a bunch of different latex house paint. And every day she was leaving our apartment, and I was like, okay, I'm going to lose it. It was the beginning of quarantine. I'm like, you can't be leaving. We're all going to die. This is so scary. And she was like, I have to leave the apartment. I need to get out. And this art studio I've created has really become like a psychological rest for me. This is something that's helping my sanity. You should come and see it. And so I went, and that first day I stretched some canvas on an old piece of wood from another art shipping container that was in this unit. And I started painting with the house paints she had laid out. And I painted Chosen, which is pinned to the top here. I painted that in 40 minutes. And I didn't know what I was painting. It was like truly a flow state. I felt like I was just the vessel for whatever was coming out. And it really is, when I stood back, I realized that it was a portrait of a person. It could be seen as a mirror, but it's a portrait of a person who is realizing that they have a path in life, they have a calling, and they need to focus on it. Like, they are chosen, they are anointed to this one specific thing, whatever it might be. And it's their job, it's their calling to focus on this and see how far they can take it for the good of themselves and perhaps for the good of humanity. A microcosm of my own things that I was working through of, I'm meant to be a painter and share my story and share my point of view and my experience. And that's what came out. And it's still my favorite painting, and I'm not able to part with it yet. I feel like it might be one of those pieces I have to keep forever because it's so special to me.
Thank you, Erica. I could probably hear the story over and over again. And I think you had this idea to write down your story, right? And I think it's just movie perfect.
Yes, like I am actually. Yeah, I actually went to I went to UCLA screening. I did a course there. Yeah, and I started writing an outline of the bigger story, but I think I still have a few more months or years to go before the story is finished and I can really tell the whole thing. But yeah, I absolutely think that this would be a very interesting book or a fun movie.
Yeah, that's so great. So actually, when I looked at your work, also particularly the new pieces that you created, so they really remind me of the work of Georgia O'Keeffe. So that's where it comes through, or the inspiration, particularly the iris pieces. And so in general, this the feminine shapes and also the warm color palette. You said that when you created Chosen, it just came out of you.
My friend had bought all the paint, and so it was all set up. So basically, I walked in with no plan, just thought, okay, I'm going to paint today and have fun. And I picked these colors. I think I started with the red and just did a little red sort of heart in the corner. And then I started filling in with more of the salmon pink color. And then it just started to flow. And I think that's something that can be really powerful when you don't have such a specific idea of what you want to create. It's more an idea or a feeling, but really I just focus on colors and gesture. So whatever way I want to move my body that day, and I may have an idea of a color that is really fitting my mood in that moment. And I'm very much a believer in the seven chakras and how energy has a different light on the spectrum. And so I think if I focus on the color that I'm truly feeling inside of me, and then whatever gesture that feels natural, the painting ends up encompassing the feeling that I have inside of me just through those simple things, because there are so many different elements that humans can experience to create a picture or to relay information to each other that isn't necessarily so literal. So I found that to be really powerful and very cathartic for me.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear how your creative process works. And so I find it very interesting that you use regular house paint for your large abstract work. So why do you actually prefer that compared to just regular acrylics? I know that like chemically it's just the same stuff, is probably just like the consistency which is a bit different, but yeah.
Yeah, so acrylic is great for so many things, and it also can be non-toxic and have less fumes to it, although acrylic paint does still have some fumes. But with latex, it pools in a different way. It has a consistency that's a little bit more spreadable. It doesn't dry as quickly, I'd say, as acrylic. It's just something about the way it pools that makes it really fun to scrape around. And it just has a different consistency. It doesn't leave a trace as much as acrylic would leave more of a line when you're scraping. So if you can you can move the latex paint a little bit where it's not like staining, so you can move it out of the way and create more scraping qualities to it. But something else I really love about house paint, latex paint, is since I do these really oversized paintings, I'll do 7 feet high by 5 feet wide, that I can have them pre-mixed. So I can go, I'm an interior designer, so I have all these fan decks of every color in the world. So I can sit down and think, what are the prettiest colors, and then take them in to the paint mixing station at Home Depot or wherever. And then I can get a bunch of different quarts of paint that are all pre-mixed, because when you're using that amount of paint, sometimes it's nice to just have the colors ready to go. So it doesn't feel like cheating either. It just feels a good resource. But also it's fun if you just have beautiful colors in mind and that's it, and you can have those exact colors. Then it's a really beautiful experience painting if you are able to work with your favorite colors and then let the form happen naturally.
That makes totally sense. It's probably the consisting that's different. Your work looks very fluid and sometimes almost like watercolors, the way how it flows. So since you started creating art again and you have been featured in Vogue magazine, and you also had your first solo exhibition recently, which is amazing, and congratulations on these accomplishments. In 2021, you entered the NFT space, actually, and decided to create Crypto's Venus project. I thought we would just talk a bit about that, since the project just relaunched recently and minting is still live. Do you want to give us a brief introduction about the mission of that project and the inspiration behind it?
Yes. So Crypto Venus is very much about self-love. And it's something that is very close to my heart, obviously, because I really had to employ that to be able to make all the big changes that I made in the past 3 years to really be able to pursue my passion and choose this new career path. So it's really about getting to know yourself, silencing the noise of the world, and focus on what you need, your boundaries, learning to be alone so that you can figure out what you really like and what your passion really is and what your calling really is. I think I know I was, and a lot of us are, caught up in what the world has become today. And there's so many beautiful aspects of this world today, but there's parts that we can have a lot of that sort of sleepwalking aspect where we're just on the hamster wheel. So this Crypto Venus is really a call to the bravery and the self-love it takes to really pursue those new things. And so it's a community of artists and hibernating artists, budding artists, or just art lovers. And we're just a group that supports each other, and just a happy, safe space within this crypto sphere. We're growing our community very organically. We're saying no to any hype beast promotional stuff. We're not paying for followers or anything like that. We just want to grow slowly and organically. And we have a great group, and we've done some real life events and virtual events. Last month, we had a Central Park photography walk led by one of our team members, Illy, who has her master's in education for art, and she led us in a photography walk. This month, we're going to be doing a live figure drawing class, which is just an opportunity to like stretch your legs as an artist and try different things. I think in January, we're going to do a stained glass workshop. Just fun things that get you outside of your comfort zone and get your creative juices flowing. We also donate to 3 amazing charities, and we're building our own nonprofit called the Venus Fund, which is going to take 10% of what's raised through the NFT mint, and that will go into its own fund that can accumulate, and we will acquire art from one of one artists that we think are really talented and have a unique perspective and a unique life experience and something to share that maybe people haven't gotten to hear enough of, and also be able to support artists with crypto education, financial education, business tools, maybe helping them acquire art space or figuring out ways where we can support each other and create moments of symbiosis. Like if there's a photographer and a fashion designer, that they can meet each other and they can both get something out of it, or a writer and an illustrator, something like that. So we're having a lot of fun. We're going through the HUG program right now, Randy Zuckerberg and Debbie Soon's accelerator program, which has been really amazing. And we've met a lot of really cool projects through that. And that's been really helpful. So it's been a lot of fun. We're almost at a year. I've been working on the project for over a year. I think I started it September 21. So this has definitely been the most interesting year of my life. And a lot of that is because of Web3 and NFTs. And I've met the most amazing people. I know it's a weird time to be in crypto, but I just look at all of the amazing people that I've met and try to silence the noise of the people that kind of ruin it for everybody else. But I think we're having a good time regardless.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I think Crypto Venus is a very unique project, not just art-wise. And so I still hold two Crypto Venus and from the initial launch, and I love them so much. And do we have any questions from the calls regarding the project before we move on back to the art part again? Yeah, Caspar, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not a Crypto Venus holder, but I totally resonate with some of the values that you spoke of, Erica. The whole focusing on like your inner peace and your inner self and trying to stay away from the evils of the world. But would you mind talking a bit more about this renaissance that I'm seeing being described on the website?
Yes. So we had a relaunch and we called it our renaissance, which is a play on words, since the original collection is really inspired by Botticelli's Birth of Venus painting, which was painted during the Renaissance. And in so many ways, I feel like this has been a personal renaissance for me these past couple of years. And then to relaunch the project, I wanted to change some of the art. I think it's hard as an artist to stare at something for a year and not want to make any changes to it. And that's just how I am. So I made some little improvements. I retired some of the attributes that I thought were either very special and should be maybe, what's the word, more rare. And then some that I didn't love it when I saw them minted, but some people really like them, but there were just certain things that I wanted to change. I gave them all slight smiles. So they all have a Mona Lisa smile now, when before they had more of a blank stare. And I added some new art, some new backgrounds, and some new outfits. And I just wanted to infuse a little bit more energy in the project, give some surprises for people, and create an opportunity for us to rally the troops, so to speak, and to talk to more people about the project. And now I'm really happy that in perpetuity, if somebody mints, I know that they're going to be really, really happy with their mint. I think before I'd gone a little crazy with attributes and created so many because it was so fun to paint all of them. And I love fashion and I wanted to create as many accessories. But then I thought they were all so different that when someone minted, they weren't really sure what they were going to get. It could have been anything. So I just narrowed down the collection a little bit and then added a few more things that I love. So it's been really fun to infuse a little bit new energy into it. And we started the Renaissance on 11/11. So it was the morning after my art show, which was great. And we had a lot of communities that joined us for our allow list partnerships. And it's just been really fun interacting with the other communities and getting to grow our community a little bit more too.
So is this more of an expansion collection or is it a replacement where you burn the original NFT?
Yeah, so it was a replacement. I updated the art and we regenerated about 8,800 pieces. So going forward, anyone that mints, it's going to be this new iteration of the collection, but the original 1,100 mints will stay.
Just to clarify for our listeners, will your original collection be burnt and how does it work?
So the original 1,100 that were minted will stay the same. We're going to give people the option to add the smile to theirs if they want to. But yeah, the whatever was on IPFS before doesn't exist anymore for the remainder of the collection, and it's just been updated. As an artist, that's just what I chose to do, but they're really fun, and I think it's a sort of a new and improved collection. So it's a beautiful thing.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing. I just had a quick follow-up question. Okay, my question is quick. I'm not sure if the answer is going to be quick, but as part of the Angels Wing, we always like to help emerging artists to learn from the pros. And from what I hear from your inspiring story of coming from you had a strong passion in art and obviously talent, but you didn't go to art school. And But seemingly you were able to go beyond that despite having a non-art major, and you majored in psychology. You somehow managed to break through all the barriers that a lot of the artists face. Got yourself on a magazine, got yourself in a solo exhibition. What would you say are the main factors that catalyzed your ability to break through these barriers to get you where you are today as an artist?
It's a great question. I think a big part of it is believing in yourself, or at least believing that you deserve the chance to really try. So figuring out how to make that happen for yourself, to create that space for yourself where you're able to really try. And I'm in a unique position because I'm a single woman. I don't have children and I don't have a husband or anything like that. So I'm able to be a free agent and do whatever I want. So it's a little bit lower risk for me in that way. So I understand it's not totally feasible for everyone, but even just starting your hobby and carving out that space for your hobby and seeing, it's really about pointing your rudder in the direction of where you want to go and having that incremental growth. So for me, I did it way more drastically. Like, I'm quitting my job. I'm moving to New York. I'm taking a part-time job, doing whatever I can, and I'm going to hustle on this, and I'm going to stay up late at night, eat away my savings, and just see if I can make it work. And a big part of it was figuring out what was worst case scenario if I failed, and then falling in love with that worst case scenario. It gives you a lot of freedom in that way to realize that nothing is maybe good or bad. It just is, and it's more about your attitude towards it. So I decided that my worst case scenario, if I were to fail and lose everything and only have, you know, a month's savings left or something, that I could go and do a farm stay somewhere. I was like, there's these like online things like Airbnb where you can go and live on a farm, but you don't pay, you just work. And so you're shoveling hay or something worse, and you're just living on this farm. And that would be my worst case scenario. That would be the alternative to being homeless, I guess. I could go do this. And I was like, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I could do that. So I'm going to put everything into this. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll go live on a farm for a year and figure out what my next move is. So it's taking no prisoners in a way. It's just saying I'm going to make it work.
Go big or go home. Except in your version, it's go farming.
Go big or go to the farm. Exactly. Because sometimes in life, you do have to make these sort of grand gestures or these big, bold actions. And see what happens. And I'm sort of at that time where I guess I have, I just have it in my mind that this is what I'm meant to be doing. And it's my strongest belief that this is what I'm meant to be doing. So I'm putting everything on it. I'm putting all the chips on myself and I'm working really hard. And so far it's paying off. I don't think I would be doing this if it were for another activity. Like, I wouldn't be like, okay, I'm going to be a ballerina and I'm going to be the best ballerina and I'm going to put all my chips on that because I didn't go to ballet school and I'm not very good at that. It's really more of, okay, I really believe that this is my calling. So I'm really going to put my all into it. And this is 3 years down the road. And it probably took me the first year I just painted and shared my work. And then after the first year is when I quit my job and moved to New York and I took a part-time job. And yeah, it was definitely hard. I won't say that it wasn't. I was scared financially at times and I had to deal with some horrible bosses, unfortunately, and it definitely wasn't easy. And it's still not easy, but it's worth it because I'm working towards what I love, and any job is hard. You're going to have things to deal with in every realm of life. So you might as well be working towards something that you really care about doing, because it's going to be difficult either way. That's just life. So you might as well be doing something that is lighting you up and hopefully helping others too.
Thank you for sharing that, Erica. So I know that purpose in life in general, very important for you. I think you really enjoy sharing your story to help other people and inspire other people. So I was wondering, how do you think can people find purpose in life in general? Because I think that's something not everyone has. So I wonder what advice you would give someone trying to find the purpose in life.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's different and everyone has a different starting point. And I think a lot of it is being able to recognize the things in your life that aren't serving you. So if you can first clear space and see, oh, are these some habits that I'm doing that aren't serving me? If I'm drinking and I don't wake up until 3 p.m. and I feel sick the next day, I'm not able to get anything done. Or if I have this friend who I've been friends with them forever, but they really make me feel bad sometimes. And just these different things that leave you feeling low and low energy. I think those are things to take a second look at and see if they really do serve your highest purpose. And then once that area is cleared, you're able to spend more time alone and with a clear head and able to think about what you do really care about doing. And I don't want to get too preachy or anything, but just exercising can do so much and eating right can do so much and meditating or spending time with God or the universe or yourself, just opening up that alone time that's really just like treating your body with the utmost care. I think you're able to recognize the little negative things more and clear those out of the way. And then when that all is cleared for the most part and you have this free time, then you're like, wow, what do I want to do with this free time? And typically, whatever the first thought that comes to your head is probably what you should start with. And then you see if you like it. Maybe it was too hard. You didn't really like it. But I think we all have something in us from when we were younger that we really love and we never explored or we gave up spending time on. But generally, I think it's just clearing space for yourself and creating.
So starting out with just let go of the things that doesn't serve you and just making space first. And that's good advice. But sometimes I feel that we still have certain obligations in life. And there are certain things that even if you don't like to do it, you still have to continue it somehow at the same time. How do you find the strength to stay still optimistic and like what you really want to do in parallel to negative circumstances, for instance?
Yeah, honest answer is I just have a really close relationship with God. That's the honest answer, but that looks different to everyone. Whatever sort of peace you can find, that might be, I think that's the real answer. And if you're not sure what that is, I think maybe going to a bookstore and going to the self-help section or the spirituality section, or I know there's a lot of different, even if you don't believe in God, there's also books that could help on that. So I think there's some sort of baseline positivity that we're all able to work towards and figuring out how to keep that. I don't have a good answer other than that because mine is so simple. It's just God.
It's a great answer, saying it's just different for everyone. Coming back to art, is there's one piece that I really love and I would like to hear the story behind it. I just commented on our space. It says piece 143. I don't know what draws me to it, maybe because it's purple. I just love purple, but it's the simplicity of it. This piece really stood out for me, and I was wondering whether you can share the story behind it.
Yes, I love that you chose that. It's like perfect with the conversation we're already having. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so 143, it's like a 90s slang. It means I love you because it's the number of letters in those words. And that piece is really about detachment from what is good or what is evil. It's about just finding peace regardless and putting a blanket of love over everything if you can. So I started painting that piece in June, I think, when a lot of things were happening with Roe v. Wade, and there's a lot of political turmoil in the United States right now, as everybody knows, and a lot of battles between red and blue. And that piece is about making it pink instead of red or blue and just finding the balance and finding love as much as you can and seeing a person not about what sort of state they're in right now or what they think is right, just accepting them as a human being who has hurts and worries and wants the best for their family, regardless what their political affiliation might be, trying to lead with love. And it can apply to so many other things that was on my mind when I painted it. But it's really about generally in life that nothing is good or evil. It's just our attitude.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. I absolutely agree on that. That a lot of things, it's just that even bad things that happens to us, it's just the way how we look at things. And in general, everything is more or less just neutral, and it's just the way how we interpret it. And sometimes just changing the perception of things can just change so much for yourself also.
It's so true. And I don't want to downplay anything, that any negative experience someone has had or any hurt that has been inflicted on someone. It's for me more personally, I've been through some really horrible things, and I was able to somehow see them as just steps in the ladder towards my own personal growth and releasing it, and realizing that all of these things that I've experienced, if I hadn't experienced them, I wouldn't be who I am today doing the things that I'm doing now. And that sometimes the hardest things happen to people who are meant to be like the strongest advocates so that they can help others. And so that's sort of how I'm looking at it. And I think it's just a way of accepting and finding love and gratitude for everything that's ever happened in your life. It's a really powerful place to be. Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that, because sometimes if bad things happen to us, it can be just part of our story. I like the way how you view it with gratitude. Thank you for sharing that. Coming close to the end of our space, and I think Johannes still has a question.
Yes, I have. I heard your story about that you plan to go to the university, then the COVID situation came in and your plans went into a different direction. Now you are really deep into the art business. You have a lot of success. You are giving workshops. Do you ever still think about attending an art university, or would you say, I don't need this anymore? This would be something that I'm wondering about.
This is very timely that you're asking this question, because I have been looking at MFA programs. That's for a master's in fine arts. And I do live in New York City, and there's some of the best schools in the country here for MFAs. So I have been looking at it. It's interesting. I've spoken with people just bouncing the idea off of it, and people are like, why would you do that? It'd be going backwards. There's no point. You've already had more success than a lot of people who do an MFA program have had. You're ahead of this. You don't need to do it. But I think about the amount that I could learn in that time, and to have 2 years to just focus on my craft and not worry so much about making sales or all the different things, to be able to just be in community with a bunch of other artists and teachers who know things that I don't know, and be able to explore that time, I think would be really incredible. And I don't pretend to know everything about art or everything about myself. I think there's a lot to learn in both of those areas, so it could be really interesting. Obviously, school is very expensive, so it would be a careful decision I would have to make. But an interesting one. I think it also depends on what school you go to, which is an unfortunate truth. Yeah, it's interesting. I am thinking about it now. I don't believe that an artist has to go to an art school to make a living as an artist or have success with it. But there are aspects to it that can help you grow, which you can. I was looking on YouTube. There's a woman who created her own MFA program by herself. She wrote out a curriculum for herself and made space in her garage. She was like a mom of three. And she just set aside 5 hours a week to work on her own MFA program that she just invented. And it gave her time to be at the canvas or exploring her work every week. Silvo, who's here listening, she's done something similar with her painting every day project, where she paints with her watercolors every single day, which is such an incredible practice. So I think it's less about the education program or what school you go to, and more about your dedication to your craft and continuing to show up. But it can definitely be helpful to be led. And if you have the resources to do it and you have the time to do it, then it could be a really good thing.
Yeah, that's a very humble answer, and I can absolutely agree to this. I wish I could go back to university. I think it was one of my best times, having so much fun meeting people and, yeah, meanwhile, a little bit learning, but in the end, it's about meeting people and see what others are doing, because you never know what you don't know, is something I was realizing during studying. But I'm not into art studying. I was doing IT, but I think I can totally agree to that. Thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Erica. Do we have any final questions from the other calls? If not, then thank you, Erica, for your positivity and all these very inspiring and encouraging life experiences. Really enjoyed chatting with you and learning about your creative process in general. Thank you to our co-host and audience, and wishing you a happy Sunday or Monday for some other people. Talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Erica. Very inspirational story. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. In time.